The following is paid commercial programming. Third-party rankings are no guarantee of future investment success. Working with a highly rated advisor does not ensure that a client or prospective client will experience a high level of performance. Investment performance is not an explicit criterion because clients' investment goals differ. These ratings should not be construed as an endorsement of the advisor by any client. Generally, rankings are based on information prepared and submitted by the advisor. Statements saying that we told our clients to be out of the market in 2008 refer to recommendations made by NMWKM's principals while employed at Eagle Strategies LLC. The team that manages accounts at NMWKM are the same individuals with that responsibility at Eagle Strategies and at Cambridge Research from 2009 to 2011. NMWKM was created in 2011 and uses the same exit strategy. A more thorough disclosure of the criteria used in making these rankings is available by contacting NMWKM Advisors LLC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Money Matters. And here's your host, Ken Moray.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money.
We are in the money. The skies are sunny. An old man recession, you are doing us harm. Well, hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe, and this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning. So we talk about the Social Security, we talk about the stock market, we talk about estate planning, income taxes, 401ks, you name it, we talk about it, and we try to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all of this boring financial stuff.
There's no doubt about it.
There is no doubt, and this week's going to be no exception because we have a show full of boring financial stuff, and I can't wait to get to it, but before we do that, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. Yes, indeed. And I am founder and senior retirement planner of Retirement Planners of America. And we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So when you think that you are going to retire or you are already retired and you want to make sure you're doing everything properly, you want to talk to somebody about it, then that's us. And our website is rpoa.com. And of course, we podcast this show and we have articles and videos, all kinds of stuff there for you. And recently, Barron's named moi your faithful host, one of the top 100 financial advisors, and actually, I think insanely so, they did that 8 years in a row, which I don't know what they were thinking, but apparently they were thinking something. But I'm proud of that. But without our beloved and most valued clients, none of that would have happened. So all you clients, we love you. We thank you. So let me go over with you what we're going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of retirement planning. So first of all, this is a question I think I'm getting now almost every day, and that is, could inflation cause the next market crash? In fact, I was talking to a client, he goes, Ken, what are we going to do if we get stagflation? And I was like, whoa, stagflation, wow, that is a word from the archives. And I'm going to talk a little bit about stagflation. I thought, you know what? And his name is Jim. And I said, Jim, that is actually a pretty astute question. So for those of you who don't know, stagflation is where you have a stagnant economy where it isn't growing so much anymore, and you have high inflation at the same time. That's called stagnation and inflation at the same time. But anyway, could inflation cause the next market crash? So we're going to answer that in our first segment. Now also, I want to talk about debt. Okay, and how much debt should you have when you are retired? And I think I'll give you a hint as to the answer, because if you think about the Great Depression, caused by debt. 2008, caused by debt. Germany's great inflationary periods and the super bad stuff, caused by debt. Rome's decline, caused by debt. Greece's decline, caused by debt. You're getting a theme here? So we're going to talk about how much debt should you have. And I want to talk also about Archegos. I don't know how you pronounce that properly, but I hope I am, which has been in the news lately, and also Blockbuster Video. You know, people think that Netflix killed Blockbuster Video. Netflix didn't. I'm going to give you the inside scoop on that one, too. So we're going to talk about how much debt should you have. Also, as we do every week, we're going to talk about Social Security and maximizing your benefits. And the way that you can help me help you is to send me your questions. And if you have Social Security questions, my email address is ken@rpoa.com. And if you send me an email regarding a question, I'll endeavor to answer that for you on the air. And also this week, we're going to talk about, is diversifying enough to protect your retirement? Okay, and one of the things that you may have heard is that if you buy a basket of high-quality investments, you diversify according to your risk profile, you rebalance periodically, that your job is done. And is diversification enough to protect your retirement? And we're going to answer that. I'm going to answer it right now, and I'm going to say, I don't think so. You know, as Borat said, used to say, is diversifying enough to protect your retirement? Not. So we'll talk about why I think not and what you should do about that. And you know what, Jack? Most shows would stop right there. I mean, most shows would say, you know what? If we did just that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show.
To infinity and beyond.
Yes, but on this show, do we stop right there? Do we only go where people expect us to? Of course we don't. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before, and therefore, at about 10 till, we're going to have our estate tip of the week. And this week, we're going to answer a question that I also get asked relatively frequently, and that is, should I name the beneficiary of my retirement account, should that be a trust or not? And generally speaking, my answer to that is no. But guess what? There are reasons why you may want to anyway, even though it's a bad idea. How can it be a good idea to do a bad idea? Well, we'll answer that one at about 10 till. So we have a fantastic show lined up for you, and I can't wait to dive into it. I got to give you a quick story here that is weighing heavily on my mind right now. We have a schnoodle, which is a poodle and a schnauzer mix. And for those of you who have seen all these oodles, right, the labradoodles and all the doodles, they have this beautiful curly hair, and it's hair, it's not fur, you know, they have hair. And Noodle, our schnoodle, Noodle the schnoodle, she has this beautiful curly hair and all that. And we took her to the groomer, and the groomer said, so do you want a summer cut? And we said, yes. Well, when we got Noodle back, the summer cut that we got was...
Houston, we have a problem.
She's bald. This dog has no more hair. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, let's talk about, could inflation cause the next market crash? That's a very, very interesting question. And, you know, one of the things that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago was the Federal Reserve came out and they used the word transitory, right? And what they said was that they are not going to make any policy decisions unless they see that inflation has really picked up or that the unemployment numbers are where they want them to be. Those numbers in the interim could be transitory, meaning we could get inflation, but it's not going to last, and therefore it's going to be transitory. And so over the last week, I've actually been counting as I watch the various financial shows in the morning as I'm getting ready to go to work, and I heard the word transitory, and I'm not kidding here, 17 times. So get used to that word transitory. Anyway, so could inflation cause the next market? Absolutely it could. And you know, what could cause inflation to come our way? Well, debt historically has caused inflation. Now you have to understand what inflation is. And it's kind of an abstract thought because, you know, normally we think that inflation means that prices have gone up. Right? So prices are going up, so therefore we have inflation. But really, that's not what's happening. What's happening is you are becoming poorer. Okay? As a nation, we can afford less. So how do you create a situation? If you wanted to make it to where people could afford less, what would you do? You'd make everything more expensive. So really, what's happening is you're becoming poorer as a nation when you have inflation. It's not that prices are going up, it's that you are becoming poorer. And what's the definition of becoming poor? It's when your net worth starts to go down. And how does your net worth go down? Well, when your debt goes up in relation to your assets, right? So if you know how a balance sheet looks like, it's your assets minus your liabilities equals your net worth. Your liabilities are your debt. So as your debt increases, then your wealth, your richness, if you will, declines. So that's the reason why when countries go into large amounts of debt, what they're literally doing to themselves is they're making themselves poorer. Now, you could argue that if you're borrowing money to do something that's going to produce a big return, that it's a good idea to do that. And I would say that probably that's true. And certainly, we do need our roads and our bridges and the internet and all those kind of things to be state of the art so that our economy can continue to grow. So there are things that it's worth doing that with. But generally speaking, if you borrow, what you do is it makes you poorer. And because you are poorer, you can't afford stuff. And the way that that translates is that prices are higher, okay? And that's inflation. So that's the concern. And if inflation heats up and you're poorer, then the value of all the assets, meaning stock market, the value of stocks on the stock market is also less, right? Because you're poorer, you can't afford to buy stuff, and therefore their profits are not going to be as great, and therefore they also become poorer, and their stock price will be reflective of that. So could inflation cause the next market crash? Yes, and it could be significant. We saw it in the early 80s when we had one of the worst recessions and the worst bear markets in our history, and that was because of high inflation. And so we have to be careful with all of this. The important thing that I take from it all is that I'm a planner. Okay, I'm a financial planner. So what do? I plan for the worst and hope for the best. So right now we are looking at the fact that inflation could come in a big way given how much we're borrowing as a country. And therefore, what do we do about it? Well, one of the things that I think is very important is that you have a strategy to protect against the next bear market. And our strategy we call invest and protect. And what we do there is we have a strategy which in November of 2007, before the credit crisis in 08, told us to sell. And we told our clients to get out of all of equities. And in fact, last year, the day before the WHO announced that there was a pandemic, our strategy said it was time to get out and protect yourself. And there was a huge drop after that. So if you are retired or retiring soon, if you're within 5 years of retirement or you are the first 5 years of your retirement, if you're in that 10-year period, we believe that is the single most important decade of your entire financial life. Because if you're about to retire, you don't want to take a big loss and not be able to retire. And if you are retired, you don't want to suddenly see your investments drop dramatically and now you cannot support the lifestyle that you want anymore. Okay, so we don't want you to become poorer either. So what we want to do is protect against that. And so I want you to go to our website and visit and go to one of our seminars that we have that are on retirement planning during these crazy times that we're in. And so the website is rpoa.com. And we podcast a show. You can listen to our segments and sign up for seminars, visit with our advisors, all kinds of stuff. So our website is rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how much debt should you have when you are retired. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. So this segment here, I want to talk with you about how much debt should you have when you are retired. And that's actually a very interesting question, and I'm going to get to it, but I'm going to take the long road to get there, okay? So I'm sorry, but you know, if you think about from an economic standpoint, from our countries and our economy standpoint, the Great Depression was to a great degree caused by massive amounts of debt taken on by people. And you saw the bear market that came after that one, right? It's historic. And then you have the 2008 market crash and the recession that we were in then, the great financial crisis, right? And what was that? That was people leveraging up on real estate, right? That's what that was. It was debt. And then Germany, you know, back after World War I, they went into massive amounts of debt as a country, and that was to finance the war that they were in and all that. And in fact, it was so bad that Germany passed a law essentially making it you have to have a change in the constitution of Germany to incur debt. I mean, that's how bad it was. They actually made it to where nobody's allowed to incur debt anymore, period, end of sentence. And then you look at Rome, the great empires, and Greece. they collapsed under massive amounts of debt. And England almost also did when Great Britain was the preeminent empire. Now, one of the things that I found very interesting is I saw a documentary on the last Blockbuster video store. And it's kind of interesting that there's still one left, believe it or not, and they're still in business and they're doing fine. And it's kind of become a historical document. Apparently, people come from all over the world just to go to that one Blockbuster because they remember it from when they were kids, and it's just a nostalgic thing. But here's the interesting thing about that. Most people think that Netflix put Blockbuster Video out of business. That is not the case, according to this documentary anyway. And they interviewed people at Blockbuster and all that. What they said is that Blockbuster was a cash-generating machine. And I think it was Viacom/CBS that owned them. They borrowed against this cash-generating machine to finance all their other stuff. And they got into so much debt that when 2008 came along, they couldn't finance that debt. And it costs a lot of money to go and do what Netflix did, to switch over, which they could have done. It's not like it was impossible for them to do what Netflix did, but they couldn't get the financing. They did not have the money. Why? Because they were so deep in debt, and their debt was more than their cash flow, and nobody was going to lend them any money, and so they died. Meanwhile, Netflix had no competition at this point, and guess what happened? And now, you know, streaming and Netflix is a huge company. So debt kills. Now, recently, you may have heard about Archegos, or you know, which is a company that was—it's a private investment fund, and it collapsed. Why? Because they were borrowing so much against the—it's called margin, right? Which essentially, if you have $1 million in account, you can borrow a large amount of that $1 million and buy more stock with it. And then if it goes up, you're tripling, quadrupling your money. It's a huge leverage. But guess what? If your bets don't work and you still got the debt, then the whole house of cards comes crumbling down. And that's what happened with Archegos. So what's the point of this? How much debt should you have in your retirement? Well, given all of that, what do you think the answer is? How about when you retire, so should your debt be retired, okay? And with our clients, what we want is that when they retire, if you're heading into retirement, we want to help build a plan to get rid of all your debt. We don't want you to have a car debt, a mortgage. We don't want you to have any kind of debt at all. Because think about it. If you have no debt, what could your cost of living be if push comes to shove, if you absolutely had to cut down to the bare bones? It could be very small, right? I mean, you could get down to not turning your lights on, and you got a candle on the coffee table, and which, by the way, in Texas, we had that. Or you could, you could grow food in your backyard if you had to. I mean, you could live on very, very little money if you have no debt. But if you have debt and suddenly, you know, your investments are not doing well because we're having a massive 2008 kind of thing or whatever, then what happens? Then all of a sudden, you can't go to the bank and say, by the way, my investments are down. I can't afford to pay the mortgage. Please forgive me that. That's going to be a tough sell, I think, right? So you don't want to be put in that place. So our philosophy is that when you are retired, so should your debt be retired. And then you have, in our view, financial security and peace of mind. And we want you to have that. Those are our two big goals for you. Okay. Now, if you are over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, I'd like to offer you a free retirement plan consultation with one of our retirement planners. So what you can do is you can go to our website. It's rpoa.com, which is retirementplannersofamerica.com. And when you're there, you click on Meet with an Advisor. If you do that, there's no charge or obligation. And what we'll do is we'll sit down with you. We'll build for you an entire cash flow plan. We'll take into account inflation, taxes, your cost of living, your 401k, Social Security. We'll look at all of that. How you're invested? Is it appropriate for you? Are you going to meet your goals? Are you on track? Or if you're retired, where do you get your income from? We'll do it from soup to nuts with you, and we'll do it at no charge or obligation. Now, if you like what you see at the end of that and you decide you want to work with us, that is fantastic. And if you don't, that's fine too. Either way, as I said, no charge, no obligation, and we will part friends.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
It is indeed. And you know, I'll tell you, my wife actually once a year takes advantage of that with me, because I am her retirement planner. And she says, Ken, let's sit down. I want to update our retirement cash flow plan. And so we did. We just did that. We do it on the eve of our wedding anniversary, coming up on 36 of them here in just a few days. So I can't even believe it's been 36 years that she's put up with me, but she's a very patient woman. But yes, we look at it. We look into the future. We take into account all the stuff, and I treat her like I would a client, and we go through and answer her questions and all of that. And if you'd like to have that happen with you, then our website is rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have strategies to maximize your Social Security benefits. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. We are back, and we're going to talk about maximizing Social Security benefits. And you guys make my life so easy. I appreciate it, because what you do, I hope, is to send me your questions, and you can send those to me. You can email me at ken@rpoa.com. That's retirementplannersofamerica.com. So ken@rpoa.com, and I'll try to answer your questions, assuming they're not too difficult, in which case I won't even use them because you don't want to look bad on the radio. But anyway, so first question I have here is, I am at my full retirement age of 66. I filed for benefits when I was 64. Okay. I wasn't working, so I started to receive my benefits. Several months later, I decided to suspend my benefit. Okay. I did not repay what I received. I just suspended future payments. I haven't received any benefits until about a month ago when I started drawing from my own benefit at age 66. Okay. So, question, can I repay the benefits I received and file for my spousal benefit now instead?
Stop whining.
I like that one. That's good. Yeah, stop whining. Actually, the question is no. Okay, I'm sorry. It's too late for you to do that because, see, what they do is they look at when you opened what they call your record. When you first apply for Social Security, you've opened your record. And because you opened your record 2 years ago, it's too late, okay? You have to repay your benefits within 12 months. And it's 2 years now, so it's too late. So you cannot do that. I'm sorry. But if it was within the first year, it might be a good idea because, you know, what he's asking here is, could I switch over to my wife's benefits instead and earn those until I decide to take mine at a future date? So actually, it's a very good strategy to do that. But unfortunately, it's too late. See, that's the thing about Social Security. It's so complicated that when you do it, you need to talk with somebody, in my view, that understands this stuff. And our people, our advisors, our retirement planners, they study this. We put them through certifications on it. And so we can help you with that. Now, next question. Is there any advantage to taking my husband's benefit before the end of 1 year rather than waiting until the next year? Okay, that's a good question. So I turned 66 in July. Can I get payments July of last year? Okay, can I get payments retroactive back to the start of the year? A friend of mine is getting a lump sum payment of approximately $13,000 for this reason. So I want to do that too. Well, I would too. $13,000 is a nice check.
Shazam.
Yes, Gomer. So here's the thing. Sometimes Social Security will pay up to 6 months of retroactive benefits, okay? So you can go back and collect 6 months worth, but only if the person eligible for benefits during that six-month period, if you were eligible for benefits during that six-month period, and never back to a period before your full retirement age, okay? So you can't go to before you were 66. So if you just turned 66, you will not get any retroactive benefits. So if you're 6 months after your normal retirement age, it is possible to go back and get that and get a lump sum. So that your friend apparently did a good thing, but it's based on what you told me, you're not going to be able to. So I'm sorry, I got two no answers for people today. I feel bad. So send your questions to me if you'd like me to answer them on the air. My email address is ken@rpoa.com. But more importantly, if you are in the age bracket, shall I say, the demo that is thinking about Social Security, if you're approaching 62, for example, or your normal retirement age, or you're about to retire, then having a Social Security game plan, a plan around how, when, who to take your benefits is extremely important. For most people, Social Security is one of the largest sources of income that they have during their retirement, and it's extremely complex. And so what I would recommend to you is you go to our website again. It's rpoa.com. And click on Meet with an Advisor. If you do that, then what we'll do is we'll sit down with you and we'll help you build a retirement, a Social Security plan, taking into account you, your spouse, your age, your income, your health, all the different things that impact that decision, and we'll help you to make an informed decision. Now, that is in the context of an entire retirement plan, okay? So we want to help you with the entire picture, not just Social Security. So if you'd like a complete built-out plan with Social Security as a main component of that, we'd love to help you and do that. So if you go to our website, click on Meet with an Advisor, and we'll do that with you at no charge or obligation. And regardless of what happens, we will part friends, okay? So rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, is diversifying enough to protect your retirement? And as Borat once said, not. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Moraif. And, you know, one of the foundational philosophies that we have when it comes to our managing of our clients' monies. Now, what we do for clients is we help you with Social Security decisions, with Medicare decisions, with can you retire decisions, 401k decisions, income taxes, estate planning. And of course, we also manage our clients' money, because what we want is we want to take over the entire function. We want to worry about it so you don't have to. And then we tell you, hey, look, we love you. Get out of here, okay? Go buy a cruise. Go on vacation. Go visit with your grandchildren and let us worry about this so that you don't have to. And so one of the things that is foundational to our philosophy of managing our clients' money is that growth is important, but protection of principal is even more important. Okay, because if your investments, if your money that you've built over the years, if that's what's going to provide you with the income to support the lifestyle that you want, then if you think of it as a box that is producing money for you, if that box is suddenly half the size it was before, or the contents of the box rather are half what they were before, then by definition, the income that's coming out of it might be half as well. And if that's the case, can you support the lifestyle that you want? And I would venture to say that for most of you, that is not going to be the case. So the question, so we have a strategy we call invest and protect, and it is designed to protect against bear markets and those kind of things. Now, what you may have heard is that, you know, if you diversify your portfolio, and you know, you buy a basket of high quality investments, and you rebalance them periodically, that your job is done. You can just take off and go sit in a hammock somewhere and sip mint juleps, and life is good. Well, I'm here to tell you that, as Borat once said, not. Diversification is important. So let me just put that on the table first of all. Yes, diversification is important. You should diversify. And we believe in that. In fact, we are broadly diversified. Now, also, you should rebalance. We believe that also, because once you've chosen what risk profile you are, you should be in. So for example, let's say that your risk profile calls for you to have 60% of your money in stocks and 40% of your money in bonds. Okay, and let's say that you know, the stock market does phenomenally well and the bond market doesn't do so well. Well, what would happen is your 60 might become 70 and your 40 might become 30. So you went from 60-40 to 70-30, and now you're taking on more risk than what you originally said you wanted. So rebalancing would bring you back to where you should be, and that is a good thing as well. But in our view, it is not enough. Now, you know, I wrote a book about our philosophy. It's called Buy, Hold, and Sell. And it actually made the Amazon bestseller business publication, which blew my mind. But in my book, I have two what I think are humorous quotes. One is, this guy is sitting across from his financial advisor, and he says, wait a minute, I have a diversified retirement plan. It's 30% hope, 30% wish, and 40% prayers. And then there's another one. I have another funny in my book, and it's a financial advisor who's calling his client, and he says, I strongly advise you to diversify your portfolio. That way it'll take longer for you to figure out how much you've lost. So, you know, and I think learning from history is a good way to, you know, at least mitigate, if not avoid, the same thing happening to you in the future. So looking back at previous bear markets and those kind of things, you can learn from that, I think. So in 2008, If you were diversified, you would have still lost a significant amount of money. In Y2K, if you were diversified, you would have lost, if you were, for example, 60 stock, 40 bond, you would have lost a significant amount of money because, you know, the stock market fell in one case by 50% in Y2K and 57% in 2008. And so if you're diversified and everything's going down like it did in 2008, or even bonds are going down in 2008, then that's not enough, in my view, to help you to not run out of money during your retirement. That's why we think you should have an overlay strategy, which says that, you know, there's a time when, as, you know, was it Kenny Rogers said that you got to know when to hold them and you got to know when to fold them, right? That's what a smart person does. And in our world, folding means protecting, which means getting out of harm's way. And so that's why we have our invest and protect strategy. So the answer to your question, is diversifying enough to protect your retirement? I would say it's not. And, you know, I spoke about in the first segment of the show about the amount of debt that we're taking on as a country, and we're about to take on even more. And not only that, we've got the infrastructure plan that you know we're talking about right now. But now there's another plan that's being floated, which is to forgive the $2 trillion or whatever dollars of student debt. So forgiving, what does that even mean, forgiving? It means we're going to borrow another $2 trillion to forgive that, right? You don't just, if somebody owes you money and you say, okay, you don't have to pay that, guess what just happened to your balance sheet? You just, $2 trillion of money you were going to get just vanished. And how does that happen with the government? They're going to have to borrow to make up the difference. So we're going to borrow even more if that happens. And so, you know, I just don't think that it's going to end well. And I don't know how you feel about it, but it worries me. So I believe there's going to be another big bad bear. And when I say a bear market, I'm talking about, you know, something on the order of 2008 or Y2K. And should that happen, do you, Mr. and Mrs. listener to this podcast, to this radio show, do you have a plan to protect against that when it comes? And if you don't, then should you? So what I want to do is invite you. We have some virtual seminars that we're having next week that I'd like to invite you to attend. They're no charge or obligation. They're designed for those of you who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that is you, if you go to our website, it's rpoa.com. And you can sign up to attend the seminar. Now, at the seminar, we talk about what are the best ways to fight inflation, and we'll talk about the different kinds of strategies with regard to that. We'll give you 5 ways to reduce your income taxes. We'll talk about Social Security strategies. We'll talk about your diversification. So we have a seminar that I think is chock full of great information. It's virtual. You can attend it from the comfort of your home. And as I said, no charge or obligation. So our website is rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, should you have a trust be the beneficiary of your retirement account? There are times when it might make sense. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. So we are back. And I am Ken Rafe. I'm the founder and senior retirement planner at Retirement Planners of America. And we're a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So we work primarily with the most wonderful, beautiful people in the whole world. And that is people who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that is you, you are in one of the most wonderful periods of your life. Trust me on that. You know, there's a survey that was done about the happiest decades of people's lives. And so guess which is the number one happiest decade of your life, or most people's lives?
College.
College, that's right.
Whatever the decade that is, college.
The decade when you're, that's when you, guess what? You are away from your parents, right? And you have a lot of freedom to do stuff. So that's a very, very happy period. So that's first. Can't beat that one. Guess which one is second? 65 to 75. Yes. Isn't that interesting? So why? Because it's your second childhood without parental supervision, right? You are now, if you retired and you've got, you know, you're able to enjoy life, then it's a very happy time. So you guys who are, we want to help you to enjoy that very happy time. Our website is rpoa.com, and we podcast this show. We have articles, videos, all kinds of stuff about how to improve your retirement and have your enjoy that second childhood without parental supervision. Now, this is the part of the show where we talk about estate planning, which is how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor.
That ought to keep the little squirts happy.
Yes, and it's very important to have happy squirts, because unhappy squirts are not a pretty thing. You don't want to see unhappy squirts, folks. Trust me, I've seen it. Anyway, and this week we are going to talk about should you have a trust be the beneficiary of your retirement account? Now, on this show, when I've talked about it in the past, I've said no. But as they say, you know, there are always exceptions to the rule, and I want to go over those exceptions with you today. All right, so but before we do that, Jack, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
And, of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches. And, you know, the estate taxes and probate and all that kind of stuff, it's actually designed to do the exact opposite. And we don't want that to happen to you. We don't want you to be taken from riches to rags. That would be a bad thing. So every week at this time, we have our estate tip of the week. So this week, we're going to talk about should you have a trust be the beneficiary of your retirement account. So I want to start off by first of all saying it's usually not a very good idea. And the reason why is because if you name a trust as the beneficiary of your retirement plans, then you have named a non-living thing, right? A trust is not a human being. And what the, and if you name a non-human being, then all the taxes basically come due upon inheritance. So in most cases, that's not something that you want to have happen, right? You wouldn't want to inherit an account and all the taxes come due. So generally speaking, the answer is no. And for most of you, that would be the case. However, as always, it depends. There are times when it may be a good idea. So for example, let's say you have children from a prior marriage, or you're concerned that a surviving spouse will remarry. That would be a good idea then to put the beneficiary of the IRA being a trust. And basically all of these where it's a good idea is where you're saying, yes, I know the taxes are going to be there, but the offset benefit is more valuable to me than the tax that it'll force. Okay? So the second reason is, let's say you have a disabled or a child that cannot make financial decisions for themselves, and you want, therefore, the beneficiary of your IRA to be a special needs trust, which we've talked about on other shows. Also, if you have a beneficiary that has an addiction or is will blow through the money really fast, they're a spendthrift. So if that's the case, then maybe you also in that situation may want them. You know, you may say that the IRS. I thought I'd catch on that one. But you may say that paying the IRS is going to be less costly to that money than giving it to a child that's going to blow it all. All right? So you got the IRS 40% or whatever, child 100%, maybe the IRS is better. Okay? Also, what happens if you're concerned that your child, your grandchild is going to have is in lawsuits or bankruptcy or whatever, those kind of things, if it's in a trust, can be protected against. And then also what happens if your beneficiary is a minor? Okay, you have a somebody who's not old enough yet, and so therefore you want to put it in a trust for them. So there are reasons where you might say paying the tax, yeah, I don't want to do that, but the benefit of paying that tax is I can do these other things and it's worth it. Okay, so something for you to think about. Now, if you are over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, then I would encourage you to go to our website. It's rpoa.com. And when you're there, we have articles and videos and podcasts on estate planning. So we have all kinds of different topics in that regard. You can also sign up to go to one of our virtual seminars, and we have some next week that are designed, again, for those of you who are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. So if that's you, at the seminar, we're going to talk about the best ways to fight inflation, which I think is going to come in a big way with all the debt that we're running. We'll talk about maximizing your Social Security benefits. We'll talk about reducing your income taxes, diversification of your portfolio, how to calculate if you have enough money to retire on. We have so much information in that webinar. I think you will find it incredibly beneficial, and you can enjoy it from the comfort of your home because it's virtual. So our website is rpoa.com. Well, you know what? This show's over already. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have enjoyed making it for you. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Of course not. told in the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Moraif or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.